Yeah, thanks for the kind introductions. Yeah, actually, sometimes South Korea is colder than here, you know, like, and then the Seoul sometimes get colder than Siberia. Yeah, and then one day I saw someone posted the temperature, and then he said it's colder than the Mars, something like that. Maybe the warmest part of the Mars. So, but anyway, yeah, here I think it's okay. The winter is okay. Hope I can visit again and again in the winter. So today I'm going to explain about the many-body invariance of the multiple insulators, Chern insulator and axions, and the Kara-Hinze states in a unified way. And this work is done in collaboration with the my student Won Jun. He's an undergraduate student who is going to be who is going to join my group in this spring, and the Byungmin is a postdoc at the Kias. And there are three references. The first one is already published. It's about multiple insulator. And I gave a talk about this. So I'm going to be very brief about this today. And there are two more papers coming in, which is more about the Chern insulators and axions and the Kara-Hinze states. So the goal of today's talk is following. So let's say I'm given the many-body ground state wave functions, like the ground state on the torus. And then we ask, can I detect the topological invariance of the state without referring to the band structures and the block states? And in particular, this question could be interesting about the high-order topological insulators, whose definition seems to heavily rely on the band theory picture. For example, the Nash-Wilson loops, which is not very well defined in the real space. So we'd like to see if I can define the topological invariance for the disordered and the interacting systems. So our proposal in one slide is following. So we'd like, we consider an insulator ground state with some twisted boundary condition on the torus, and we plug some unitary operators, which is specific to the targeted topologies. I'm going to explain which unitaries I'm going to use, and if you just take the overlaps, and then ask the phase factors, then we are going to see that the phase factor essentially detects the underlying topologies. So we are going to go through the examples of this, and the examples are following. So we are going to see the polarization and multiple insulators can be detected this way, and also the Chern insulator and the Kara-Hinze insulators can be detected this way. By the way, the Chern insulator, there are a lot of known formulas, but we are going to present a new formula which can detect, which can calculate the Chern number. And this can generalize to the axion insulator and also the boundary polarization. So Chern insulators, we are going to present the new way of evaluating it. And then if you are familiar with the topological insulators, then you can easily see that these two insulators are essentially the quantized pumping version of these. For example, the Chern insulator is simply the pumping of the polarization operator in the momentum space, and the Kara-Hinze insulators we are going to see can be viewed as the pumping of the multipole insulator. So in the second part, we are going to see how to detect the quantized pumping using the many-body invariant, and also the last part, the boundary polarizations. If you have heard of the multiple insulators, this boundary polarization is essential. Is kind of essential in defining the multiple in the solid. So we are going to discuss the boundary polarizations if time allows, but it's likely that we end up with part one and part two. Okay. So let's start with the introductions to make sure that we are on the same page. So I guess I don't need to speak too much about the introductions, but just to make sure, yeah, we have the same understandings. We are all familiar with the classical topological insulators, where we have one-dimensional and the two-dimensional and three-dimensional and higher-dimensional versions. Higher-dimensional versions, I don't care, but so the phenomenology is essentially the Burke is insulating. And if you look at the boundary, then for example, in the polarizations, you have some localized mode here and here, and the Chern insulators, the Burke is gapped, but at the boundary, you have a Kara edge mode, and the 3D topological insulators, Burke is gapped, and the surface, you have Dirac fragments. Essentially, the dimensional Burke topology manifests as a d-1 dimensional gapless mode, right? And these days, people are talking about the newer topological insulators, which is higher order topological insulators. Here, we also have 2D and 3D topological insulators. And the simplest version of a 2D topological insulator is quadruple insulator, where you have bulk is gapped and edge is gapped, but on the corner, you have a dangling state, which carries the corner charge. And in the three dimensions, you can also have an octopolar insulator where the surface, where the bulk is gapped, surface gapped, and the hinge is gapped. And on the corner, you have some state. And also you have a hinge insulator where you have bulk is gapped, but surface gapped, and the hinge carries some one-dimensional Kara states. So these are our very brief pictures. So essentially in these insulators, the lower dimensional boundaries, like the corners and hinges, manifest the topologies. Yeah?
Just wanted to ask about the last one.
Yeah.
In this figure, when the currents are flowing in this direction,
yeah.
When it hits the corner,
yeah.
What does it do next?
They are going to disperse in a way that they connect the this one dimensional channels.
To the outside?
Yeah.
Suppose I look at the front surface.
Mm-hmm.
Does the current on the top edge go to the right?
Yeah, there are two. Okay, this is not real material. Let's say I have a real material like bismuth, and this one can be connected this way, and this one is connected this way. Or you can break the symmetry the other way around, like this and like this, or these connected to the other. Or if you impose the symmetry, then this surface can be completely gapless, like the Dirac formula. Yeah.
Otherwise, in the other scenario, so out of the 12 hinges,
yeah.
Four of them are gapped.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So yeah, that's actually the natural question you should ask when I see this picture, right? I mean, how they are connected to each other on the surface. Yeah. So one can ask how to characterize these states. And a common strategy is to look at the three lattice translation symmetric electron insulators, where you have a simple type bending Hamiltonian, where CI dagger CJ, and plus a Hermitian conjugate. And you can simply diagonalize it when you have a translation symmetry. Then you get the band structure and the block state, right? And the well-defined procedure tells you when you have a block state, you can calculate the band index, right? For example, the Chern number of the 2D Chern insulator, the way to compute it, the index is that you just calculate the Berry connection in terms of block state and Berry curvature, and then you integrate to the integer, right? But the question arises when you have interacting and the disordered systems, like what do I do with these systems? And then can we define the topological states in these setups at all, right? We can ask these questions. So our strategy is that even for the interacting and or disordered cases, I can still define the many body wave functions on the torus or the geometry I want. And we are going to ask to calculate the index purely in terms of the many body ground state, which is naturally written in the real space basis, right? When I have disorder, I do not have a momentum space. So it's natural to use the real space basis, and then we compute it using that many-body invariance. So how it works, I'm going to show through some example. The first one is polarization and multiple insulators. So we are going to consider these three types of the insulators where you have zero-dimensional dangling states at the corners or the edge. So this is this part I gave a talk 1 year ago, so I will be pretty brief, but let me go through some essential informations. So here are some informations that's necessary to understand my talk. So let's consider the polarization case, which is a Schuster-Per-Hegel chain. And we all know that such insulator has a finite dipole density moment, which is Px mode 1. Then when I have such polarization, we know that when I cut the chain, I have a edge charge, which is Px, right? And this case, I can calculate the polarization, whatever the value it is. I can compute it in terms of the band index, which is written in terms of very connection, right? And on the quadrupole insulator case, I have an insulator with a finite quadrupole density, which is the model written here. And this insulator is characterized by the corner charge. When you look at the corner, and this corner carries a QC, which is QXY. So essentially, the corner charge is characterized by Burke quadrupole moment. And also, if you look at the edge, then you have an edge polarization, which is QXY. And the band index people try to develop, which is the necessary Wilson loop index, which I'm going to review soon. But before going further, I would like to comment that this boundary charge can be understood from the semi-classical classical electromagnetisms, where the charge, when I have a polarization, charge can be computed as P dot N when I truncate the polarization, right? And the quadrupole cases can be understood similarly. For example, edge polarization, if you have a quadrupole moment density, which is uniform in the sample, then there is a boundary polarization, which can be written in terms of the boundary vector dotted with the quadrupole moment. And also the corner charge can be computed similarly. So all these phenomenology is consistent with the classical electromagnetisms. So now, compared to this side, we see the polarization case, polarization can be written in terms of the band index. So we ask, what do we have here? So, so these guys, the science paper, proposed the method, which is nested Wilson loop approach. So what they claim is that what you need to do is that you look at the momentum space, and then you diagonalize the Hamiltonian, and then you have a block state out of the field bands, and then you construct the Wilson loops along the one directions in the momentum space, like the Wilson loop as a Wilson loop along these directions, okay? And then what you do is you exponentiate it, and then look at the Hamiltonian operator. This is not Hamiltonian, this is Hermitian operator, because this is unitary, that can be always written in terms of I times Hermitian operator. And then you look at this spectrum of Hermitian operator, and then calculate the polarization out of that. Okay, that's pretty complicated, and then I didn't present it for you to understand. I'm just saying that there is a way to compute it, and the result is following. So what you see here is that this purple is the physical quadrupole moment, and this blue is the quadrupole moment calculated by this way. And what you see is that there is some disagreement everywhere except the 1/2 and zero. Okay? And so in summary, what I can say is that at least there is a band index which works for the quadrupole moment to be 1/2 or zero, but not else. These cases can be an interesting cases when you have C4 symmetry, which discretize the quadrupole moment. So when you use the nested Wilson loop as a band index, then it's a good method, but it does not physically measure the quadrupole moment in the sense that when it's away from the quantized value, the value disagree with the physical moment, right? That's what we see here. So if you have a model with the C4 symmetry, then nested Wilson loop agrees with the quadrupole moment. But let's say you do not have a C4 symmetry, then they don't agree. So that means we do not have a faithful measure of the quadrupole moment. And furthermore, this band index proposal, it's not clear how to write down in terms of the many-body wave functions. So that's the questions I want to deal with in this talk. So actually, for the dipole case, the answer is already outside. So it's already open to. The method was developed by Resta, which we are going to benchmark. So what he proposed is that there is no proof still. You write down the ground state on the torus or circle. For example, in the 1D, you have a circle of size L, and then find the many-body ground state, and then you prepare the unitary, which is X times number operator exponentiated with this vector, then his proposal is that you look at the you look at the overlaps, then the phase factor must be the polarization. And at least for the free fermion case, he can show that this is the same as the Berry phase formula, but the generic proof is not there. But no one saw any counterexample of this Restas formula, so far it looks it's working well. But the message one can get from this is that the polarization can be computed without the band structure. So what we want to ask is, can you generalize this to the quadrupole moments or octuple cases? And this question is related to the question, can you actually define the quadrupole moments or octuple moments for the generic quorum insulators? And then our proposal is that you prepare the ground state on a torus zero, which has size Lx and Ly with the periodic boundary conditions. And you prepare the unitary, which has xy times the number operator. And our claim is that you simply look at the ground state overlaps of this unitary, then the phase factor must detect the quadrupole moment. Okay? So instead of giving you the proof first, let me show you the numerical calculations of one model, which has C2 symmetry. And this theta is some parameter which you tune in the type binding model. So we compare the three manifestations of the quadrupole moment. One is our unitary, which is blue, and the red is the quadrupole moment you calculate from the Nest Wilson loop, and the green is the corner charge, which you should agree with the quadrupole moment. And what you see here is that only two lines, because the green and the blue overlaps too well, so you cannot distinguish them. So what it means is that our unitary operator measures the corner charge or quadrupole moment faithfully for all the values, which is different from the Nest Wilson loop case, which agrees only at like 0 or the 0.5. So it looks like our method works very well for the quadrupole insulators. And actually, there were other non-trivial tests, which I'm simply listing a few. The first one was, it was applied to the amorphous disorder fermion case because it's a real space formula, so you can use it to the disorder fermion systems. And our operator agrees with the corner charge well. And you can even apply to the non-symmorphic cases with the bosonic systems. And the non-equilibrium and the flow kinetic systems quadrupole moment agrees with the corner charge. And also you can apply to the string correlated spin systems where you also see the agreement, at least in the exactly solvable points. So it looks like our method works very well. And so one can ask, why does it work? So the formula was simple, so you need to explain why it works. And the way to understand this is we need to interpret this ground state overlaps in terms of the path integral. So what I do is that this ground state overlap can be understood as trace over the beta h times u2, where beta goes to infinity, right? It's just a rewriting of the ground state in terms of the trace, where trace is running over the all the states. Then this one, I'm claiming that this one should be written in terms of the exponentials of the effective actions of some gauge theory. So what is this gauge theory? To understand this, we need to rewrite this trace a little bit. So, let's try to literally interpret this trace, okay? And what you do is first you plug a state from the right-hand side and it meets with this U2 operator, right? And that implies at time equal to zero, the state gets in and meet with the unitary. And then this one is time evolution in the imaginary time, right? So you have a state heated with the U2 and then perform the evolutions. And I'm claiming that when U2 acts on the state, this one is the same as the gauge field, which has mu this configuration. I'm going to explain. And state is evolved under the influence of the gauge field. So this one should be effective. This one should be the effective actions evaluated with a mu, which is generated by the unitary. So why does it generate the gauge field? So if you look at this U2, let's say I plug that here. Then this one has only space integral, right? And then I can turn it into the time integral times space integral. The cost is you need to plug the delta tau here, right? And then it generates the phase factor proportional to the number operator. And then if you look at what does it mean is that this one is essentially the essentially the A0, right? What A0 or chemical potential does is to generate the phase factor proportional to the number operator. So this should be generating the gauge field, which is A0 with the delta tau. And then this one should be effective action evaluated with this gauge field. Now the question is, what is this effective action? And the effective action is simple to derive. For example, the charge, we know it's a charge times voltage, right? And the dipole, we know the effective action is P dot EX, right? Which is P dot E because VX and VX plus D has a derivative here. And then for the quadrupole, I can similarly derive, and the effective action is QXY and DXY, DYEX. And you take that and then plug this effective action, then you can easily show that this one comes out with the QXY. The simple reason is that you have XY here, which gives you the electric field along Y is X, and this one is Y, so they become constant. And then the tau integrated over tau is one. And so this one pulls out QXY. So you can show that this one gotta be that, and that explains why this quadrupole insulator formula works. So for the first part summary, we discovered essentially the many-body real space invariance for the polarization and quadrupole and octopole insulators. Any questions for the first part?
So is it quantized?
When you impose C4 symmetry or C2 symmetry, it doesn't quantize, but C4 symmetry, yes.
With C4 symmetry?
Yes, yes. So I didn't specify much about symmetry, but yeah, symmetry plays an important role. Yeah.
You said previously, you said some part of the contribution is topological and some part is non-topological, you say that?
It was not my saying, it was a graph. So you should be very quick in reading. yeah, you mean probably this, right?
Yeah.
So it's their saying. So what they mean by topological means is it's a value out of this. And for some reason I don't understand, they said the difference between the physical one and the less recent node is the non-topological. But I don't, yeah, let me not comment on that. Yeah, I don't understand, yeah.
So the moment is a tensor, try to tensor, right?
Here it's just one component. Yeah, so among the all the different QAB, I have only QXY.
Can you throw away the diagonal XX or Y1?
Yeah, in this model, it does not carry such moment, yes.
So if you stack the 1D wire on
yes.
the edge, you
yes.
change the quadrupole charge, right?
Yeah, that's related to actually the third part. It's attaching the boundary polarization to flip the quadrupole moment. So there is ambiguity due to the boundary polarizations, and then you can actually detect it out of that too.
Okay.
Yeah. So other question? So that's why it's relevant to the definition of the quadrupole moment. But yeah.
So. The gauge field that you insert
yes.
is localized at t equal zero.
Right.
It's not very smooth function
right.
in space time.
Right.
So I can imagine that the effective action for gauge field
right.
in general includes higher derivative term.
Yeah, so.
Higher order correction.
Mm.
And are they not important?
So let me answer step by step. So here I assume, so you're right, this one is very singular in tau. So one thing I assumed is that even after hitting by this U2, the ground state remains to be ground state. That's kind of like adiabatic argument. It's not adiabatic, but that's an assumption. And second, I'm looking at only the imaginary component. So the real component, like Maxwell terms and all other terms, are appearing here. So this one is a very phase. And this one includes only the dynamics terms.
So why does the first, why does the ground state remain ground state?
That's our assumptions. I do not know how to prove it, but so far it looks it's working. But that means that there should be some energy gap scales enters into this evaluation, which currently I do not know.
This very violent.
Right. You are right, yeah. So I think, but this method you are going to see repeatedly, and then it works for all the topological insulators. So there should be some nice way of formulating that approximation, but for now I do not know. Yeah, let me put that way. And the higher gradient terms you are worried about is real, like the Maxwell terms, and they do not affect the periphase term. You should remember it's an imaginary time evolution. So only the imaginary part is topological response, and all others are in here.
So can you define the protocol in terms of some topological response?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I tried to write, right? That's effective action. What's your definition of a topological term?
Okay.
For me, it's an imaginary term. It's imaginary because when you do the imaginary time, because it involves only one time derivative. Let me put that way, maybe that helps.
There's no time derivative.
One time derivative, right?
Oh.
Yeah, that's why it's imaginary. Yeah. Other questions? Okay, good. So let's move to the second part, which is the evaluation of the many-body invariance for the Chern and the Kara hinge insulator.
Before we,
yeah.
So if you try that for, say, interacting state.
Yes.
So you say it works?
For the exactly sobot points so far. I didn't try for general parameters. Yeah. And I know I roughly know what gap guarantees this approximation actually. That's related to your question 1 year ago, if you remember.
We
can discuss later. Yeah, but I roughly have some guess which gap controls this approximation. Yes. So for these cases, I did the interacting models too. So maybe I, yeah. So the only information you need to understand my talk is that the Chern insulator and the Kara hinge insulators are given in terms of the quantized pumping with dipole or quantized pumping with a quadrupole for the free and translation symmetric electronic models. For example, the Chern number for the 2D Chern insulator can be written as the PY, polarization along Y, with the KX integrated over KX, which gives you the change of the polarization along X. And the quadrupole hinge insulator is similar. You have a quadrupole moment given each KZ, and then how you pump it in the KZ directions. And those are quantized. And so these can be computed in the free electron models. But the question we would like to ask is, what do we do for interacting and the disordered models? And one thing nice is that, at this moment, we already know the expression for the polarization and quadrupole moment for the many-body wave functions. So what we need to do at this moment is to encode the pumping, right? So that's the only thing we need to encode from the previous work. So how do we do that? The claim is that we consider the two ground state phi x and zero, where the phi x labels the infinitesimal twist boundary conditions along the x direction. So you have a torus xy, and then you insert the flux along the x directions, which gives you the twist along x directions. And then you prepare the two ground states and insert the polarization operator along the y directions, and then take the quotient. Then the claim is that this should be the e to the I phi x times c, where c is the Chern number, many-body Chern number. And then if you are familiar with this computing the Chern number business, then there are at least two well-known formula. One is a Plekhet formula, and the other is by Michael Zalotto. So Plekhet formula involves the four ground states, not two. So we could do the computation of Chern number with the half of the state, which I would say progress, because four reduces to two. And the other formula, I'm going to compare in the later slides, and we are going to claim our formula is better in some sense. So you're going to see why I say that. So before going to the interacting model, let's see if this works for the band insulator case, where I have free translation invariant case. And this is the famous model for the Chern insulators, which has a phase diagrams like M is positive and negative. You have Chern number 1 and minus 1. And if you tune it too much, then you get 0. And using our many body invariance, you get the correct phase diagram where Chern number is minus 1, 1, depending on the sign of mass. And the phase boundaries are correctly captured. So it looks like it's working perfectly well for the band insulator. And we move to the interacting case, where I have a Chern number 1 free fermion system, and then add the U term, which is hub, which is on-site repercussions, with a parameter like TRMU to be 1111, which we checked adiabatically connected to the state where TRM is 1110, which gives you the Chern number 1. Okay, so our intuition says that because this one and this one adiabatically connected, so this one has Chern number 1, so this gotta be Chern number 1. So can you check that from our formula? And so we did DMRG, which is developed by actually the undergraduate student within like 2 months, 3 months. I would say that's pretty quick with the help with the Pyongmin. So I don't know how the DMRG is coded and how it's running, so don't ask me about details. This guy will be here in the next week, so you can ask numerics about this to this guy. So let me present the result. So this blue is the method following the Mike Zalotto's method. And the red is our formula. So in the conventional method, in the Mike's method, what you need to do is you have a state and you insert the flux to the 2 pi and then ask how the polarization is pumped. So what you can see is that it's actually our red one is straight, the blue is a little bit bented. And what you need to deduce the Chern number, you need to keep track of all the evolution. But actually our formula doesn't need to evolve the 2 pi flux. You need only 2 states, like 0 and epsilon, and then draw the straight line. And the slope between 2 gives you the Chern number. So in some sense, our formula is straight, so you need only 2 states literally. So in some sense, it's better.
Why did you say the other one is only 4 previously?
This is not the Plekhet formula. That's different formula that involves 4 ground states. And the blue one, you should ask me.
But actually, for flux insertion,
yeah,
you can also like choose 2 states, right?
0 and 2 pi.
Flux, and then you extrapolate.
Yeah, but if it's a little bit tilted, then how do you know?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But for your method, you also need extrapolate.
No, I need only 2 states. Oh, you are asking how do I trust my formula?
You need extrapolation.
No, I need only 2 states. That's
a
full claim.
It's a straight line.
Yeah.
Why it's a straight line? Is it the question? As far as this phi x is small, then you can literally show this one gotta be that. But you'd like to have a more detailed answer, maybe. So my understanding, which is very elementary. The reason why it's tilted is that when you do the DMRG, if I'm wrong, please correct me. If I'm wrong, So what I understand is that you have only like 4 leg or the finite number of the leg along the y directions, and then that affects the accuracy. And in our case, the number of finite number in the x it doesn't matter much. So that's why I think it's a straight line.
But do you have any analytical proof that it should be a straight line?
Sure. Yeah. That's something going to come later. So before going further, let's consider the disorder case. By the way, I'm friend of Mike, so I'm not attacking him or something like that. It's just comparisons. Yeah.
So, that method was invented a while ago, right?
It's I'm sorry.
Insertion is like 2 decades. People know that.
Right.
It's not Mike's method.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's maybe conventional is better. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I didn't attack Mike. That's good. Okay, that's better.
Put online anyways.
Yeah, but who knows? These guys can go outside and call Mike. That like.
Watch this video online.
Yeah.
This is not gonna be online. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. So before going further, by the way, I like Mike's paper. I should say that, and that was very brilliant. Yeah. So that's my official. Yeah. So before going further, let's consider the disordered case. So what we did is that we have TR equal 1, 1, which gives you the turn number 1 in the phase diagram. And then we consider the real space mass perturbations, which goes from 1 to 1 plus omega. And then we considered each case's 1,000 disorder configurations, and we performed the average. Then what you see is that our formula detects like 1, 1, 1, 1 nicely, and then there is some deviation because of the large disorder effect. We didn't push further toward the phase boundary, but so far within the small, within safely inside the translator phase, our formula detects the Chern number. So this calculation is also done by these guys. So if you have questions about numerics, you should ask those guys.
So when at very strong
disorder,
what do you expect?
There will be some scaling. So the Chern number will be looks like smooth, evolving from 1 to something. And then that's going to, there is some smooth behavior. I can show you the data later, but yeah. You see there is a little bit of void from 1. So
I'm just trying to understand. Suppose I have a very strong disorder,
yeah.
Then I will go into some Anderson insulating phase.
I think it's just kind of like so. Even if you turn on the mass large, it's still insulator. But honestly, I don't know. Maybe that's a good question. Do you know if I generally? From the experiment. When you have a new equal 1 quorum hole, and then if you put a lot of disorder, then you cross over to the, not crossover, you have a phase transition to the Anderson insulator with the new equal 0. So I would expect a similar thing appears here. I'm not sure if it's the same universality as quorum hole plateau transition, but should be similar, right? So at least the phases should be similar. Phase transition should be different. But.
So when disorder strength is 2?
Yes.
So this is, the Chern number is not quantized, is that
right? It's an average number, right? Average Chern number over the 1,000 configurations. So
okay, and then for W less than some critical value,
yes,
each disorder realization gives quantized Chern number. Only averaged one gives.
I should ask these guys. Sorry. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I was happy with this plot. Maybe I should have asked. Yeah.
So generically, when at disorder, is the system gap or gapless?
I would say if it's small, then it's gapped.
Yeah, but
the question is what happens at the strong disorder limit, and I think I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's the safest answer. If it's too strong, I'm sure it's going to be another insulator with a trivial topology. But at the criticality, I don't know. Yeah.
But the tube insulator can be a can be gapless, I assume.
Why?
The Anderson insulator is gapless.
In terms of a spectrum, but if you ask the transport, it's insulator, right?
Yeah. But now this chain number defining this way, is it supposed to be contested for Anderson insulator?
I think I didn't check it. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. But presumably, as far as the particle cannot move around, the formula should work. So maybe it works for the Anderson insulator, but I do not have proof in hand. You will see why it's the case. Maybe that's worth testing, yeah. Let's present why it works. So for the band insulator case, this formula can be actually analytically calculated. And that gives you the product over kx, which is 2 pi over lx times n, and polarizations at given kx plus pi x divided by lx because these boundary conditions here. And you can actually see this one. In the middle, I use the rest of formula, which gives you u1 gives you the polarizations. Okay? And this one, you can see, I can divide it up and down, and then that gives you the derivative kx py times pi x lx, which is the Taylor expansion, right? And then this one, when the lx goes large enough, sum is turned into the integral, and then that gives you e to the i phi x times c. So for the band insulator, you can actually prove this formula should be that, okay? And the question, real question, is what happens in the interacting or disorder case. So that involves the knowledge of the topological Hall response that the Chern insulators, the imaginary part of action should be given in terms of Chern sum terms with the Chern number C or many by the Chern number C. Now, the strategy that we use for the quadruple applies here too. So essentially, these overlaps can be written in terms of the effective action out of the gauge field, where the gauge field has two contributions. One is from the temporal components, which is generated by inserting the unitary in the time integral. And there is another component out of the twisted boundary conditions. And then if you actually plug ax and a tau here, then you can show that this when evaluated, this gotta be I phi x times c. But as far as the insulator is identified by this effective action, then it's gotta be pick up the coefficient of the transient term. And this invariant is designed in the way that to detect the coefficient. So this one is a simple illustration. And so even if it's an Anderson insulator, if the effective action, the imaginary component is zero, then I would say it can be detected.
But
let me finish. The real question is that to have a well-defined phase, you need to ask if the amplitude is zero or not. It could be the case is amplitude is zero, but I do not know the answer at this moment. So
in this interpretation, do you require after applying the U, the system is still in the gapless in the ground?
In the same ground state. Yeah, that's the same approximation. Yes.
Only one ground state, right?
Yeah. So I assume the unique ground state. That's another key step. So you can ask what happens for the fractional case, and then that's something we are working on now. Yeah.
Do you have higher order corrections? I mean, from the formula to the action?
You mean to the effective action?
Yeah.
Presumably, I can write down something, but I do not know. So I try to construct, but I cannot figure out at this moment. So there's two constraints. It gotta be imaginary. In the 2D, if you ask the topological response, what can I have, then in terms of the A mu, then I think this is kind of unique.
What is topological? I mean, on the left side.
Yeah.
No. Your formula.
Here.
Yeah, the leftmost side. The left side.
Left side.
Yeah, why is it topological to start with?
Oh, I put the Chern insulator here.
I mean, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Why this number is quantized?
Oh, this one.
No, this one is quantized.
Okay.
Yeah, your formula.
Yeah.
This one.
Why this one is quantized?
You
maybe, yeah.
The, your formula is this, will be equals to the
right, Chern number.
Yeah. But why is that?
Why is that? Because I start with the, maybe you're asking something different, but maybe I, this ground state is a Chern insulator.
Yeah.
Whose topological response is Chern semi-term, but you want more, right?
Right, right.
So what's your question then?
So your claim is this complicated formula, the overlap.
Yes. Is the given
is
by
the,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Ah. That's the same logic as we used in the quadruple insulator. But
yeah. But for
you're
that,
not,
there might be some high order corrections, right?
That's something I do not know. So far, it looks it's working perfectly well. So when you say higher order corrections, what do you mean by that?
Something like finite size effect.
Finite size effect.
Yeah, I believe in the thermodynamics.
Yeah, it more,
then,
yeah, so, okay. So for that case, we assume this one is correct when it's in the thermodynamic limit.
Yeah, as you
see.
That would be true.
Yeah. But you want more?
This,
yeah.
When you compare the method, the
yeah.
flux insertion method, you claim that
yeah.
the net from your formula
okay.
will be a straight line.
Yeah.
That means there will be no finite size effect. Right?
That's a good comment. I didn't check that, but that's maybe worth checking. Yeah. But so far, at least in the numerical calculation, it was very straight. But I should look into more detailed data.
Well, for flux insertion method, for many cases, it's also very straight.
Okay. Yeah, but at least when you try it, maybe it's truncation errors, but it has some tilting.
Yeah, I don't know why he gets tilted. For
yeah, but we saw the similar behavior in the Mike's paper too. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it's not only our paper, but yeah.
I didn't read that paper. Gosh.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we should check it, maybe.
According to
yeah.
my experience, it's always like very straight lines.
Okay, that's nice, yeah.
Even for very large system, that's pretty small system.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Then I, yeah. Then maybe both are good enough, maybe, yeah.
So,
yeah.
The same question, but
mm-hmm.
In general, the S effective,
yes,
as defined from the expression on the left,
yes,
includes high order term in electric field and magnetic field, right? And
right.
Term.
Yeah.
And so in general, it has both real and imaginary part. Is this the only imaginary part? Is that
no? That's an assumption. That the only very phase term is that term.
Right.
Yeah.
Then question is why does it work so well?
Maybe the insulator in the largest models truly realize only the Chern semi-term.
Well, usually
mm.
the argument is that if you insert some flux adiabatically,
mm-hmm.
then electric field and magnetic field that you generate,
mm-hmm.
so the process is small, so that it suppresses the high order term.
Yeah, here I didn't use it.
Yeah,
yeah. So maybe that's a good comment. Why our formula works well is maybe the insulator ground state we are considering has only the Chern semi-term. Yeah.
So that's the first thing, and then the second one is the perturbation that you add.
Yeah, actually it's not perturbation.
Space dependent
yes.
potential. I mean, doesn't commute with Hamiltonian, right? So in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't commute, it shouldn't
yeah,
commute.
So,
yeah.
so, I mean, that certainly take the ground state into some highly excited state.
That's true.
Okay, so But then still it works. So
still it works.
Numerically.
So. Yeah, so that's related to the gap. Which gap is relevant for cutting out?
You can rely on gap.
Yeah.
If the time scale of the perturbation is longer than the inverse of the
mm-hmm.
gap, but here you have delta function.
Yeah.
In time. So
yeah.
that should insert enough energy to excite your ground state into.
Right. Okay.
So somehow,
I think,
so given that it works numerically, one should have some argument that doesn't rely on the assumption that you.
Yeah, that's something I haven't been looking for 1 year. And I do not have a good answer at this moment. I have a guess, but yeah. But it's just assumptions and some arguments, not the real calculations. So. But so far, this formula, we tested in many different models and they seem to work. So,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. And then Yin-Chen said, okay, the flux insertion is also straight. So maybe it's something irrelevant to the community, but I don't know, but still, yeah, seems interesting formula to me. At least it involves, at least it connects three different concepts to me. One is the effective response. And the band index, Chern number C. And also, you can actually derive out of this the straight formula. So it reconnects many different concepts into a single formula. But I do not have a good answer to your question and the Yin-Chen's comment. But
so actually, if you just calculate a numerator or denominator, is
mm-hmm.
it just a pure phase? Or
this one is pure phase. That's a good
a
comment.
Phase.
Yeah, this one is inserted to cancel out the pure phase of the above. Yeah. That's one way to understand.
So it doesn't have an amplitude.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So so for the chiral hinge state, you can also consider the following. So you have one ground state with inserted phi z. And the other ground state without twist, and you take the division between them, then that gives you the phi z times the CQ, where the CQ labels how many quadrupole moments is pumped. And here uxy is the operator which measures the qxy. That's from our previous work.
Sorry, I confused. So yes. So what do you mean is the ground state is the eigenstate of this U operator?
No, it's not.
So then the denominator or the numerator will be, it also have amplitude, right?
Yes. So this
so
should be some phase factor here, yes.
So, but if I only look at the numerator, let's say,
uh-huh.
and how does this amplitude scale with your system size?
You're asking about the phase or
the
amplitude? Amplitude scales as that's another good question. So so uxy it decreases. So it seems to extrapolate to zero. That's something we need to solve out. But
I see.
So you don't want to have a too big system, but still large enough.
Yes.
And y it decreases even with the gap. You can. We don't understand, yeah. But that's an important question, actually, if this can be redefined. But if you concentrate only on the phase, then this one works, yeah.
But I guess for both the denominator and the numerator, the amplitudes, they will both go to zero,
Yeah. But his question is, if this single component is redefined.
Yes, you have to calculate separately.
Yeah, and then you need to take the division, right? You do not compute this one as a single expression.
So how does it scale with system size?
I forget the detail, but
square or something?
Yeah, it's in our paper. I forget, but it's exponential something. I forget. Yeah, exponential of L. Yeah.
So both of the numerator and denominator decreases in the same way.
Yeah. So. Let's test this formula. And this formula, at least for the band insulator, seems working well. So this one is the known phase diagram of the parameter M and the delta. And then you see there is a chiral hinge insulator and the normal insulators. And then you can show that our formula detects the phase boundaries and the correct pumping numbers for the band insulator. And you can ask what happens if I add the interactions. And what we did is we performed the Hartree Fock approximations for the contact repurgence. And still, by the way, we looked at the n equal 2, which is inside this phase, and the n equal 4, which is outside of the hinge phase. And you can show that even with the interacting ground state, the slope can faithfully detect the quadrupole pumping. And this calculation is also done by Byungmin and Wonjun. So as a last step, within 5 minutes or something like that, I'm going to show why this formula works. This is similar to what we did before. So this each line can be interpreted in terms of the many body quadrupole parameters, where you detect the phase factor, which is 2 pi I qxy kz plus pi z divided by lz, which is the uniform gauge choice made. And the kz is taking 2 pi lz times the n, where n runs from 0 to lz minus 1. So if you look at these expressions, you can now take the division between the two, which gives you this formula. And then this one can be turned into the sum. Sum can be turned into the integral, and the integral can be performed, which gives you the winding numbers. So this is why it works for the band insulator case. And then you can ask what happens for the interacting case. And actually, you can write down some effective actions, which looks very similar to the Chern-Simon terms for the Kara hinge insulator, which has, you can see that there is one-time derivatives, meaning that it's a topological term, and also involves A only, which is gauge field.
Here, when you say it's topological, you just mean it's imaginary.
Yes. I didn't say it's a quantized. Yeah. But yeah, let's accept that's a case and then ask our form if our formula can detect that. Okay?
And we also don't mean it's topological. Okay, yeah,
it's an image. It's very phased. That's all I mean. I don't mean more than that. Yeah. And then we can perform the path integral interpretation out of that, which can be interpreted in terms of AZ and A tau, which is XY times that tau, which is generated by, this gotta be XY, sorry. XY operator, and then AZ, which is generated by that. And then if you plug these into here, then you can simply show this one is phi x times CQ. So at least this expression should pick up the coefficient of the some periphase term, which characterized the hinge insulator. So in summary, what we have shown is that we discovered the many body real space invariants for the Chern insulator and the Kara hinge insulators, which are pumping, which are the pumping states of the dipole and quadrupoles. So let me conclude. So in conclusions, we think we discovered the many-body real space invariants for the primary classical classic insulators and the high-order topological insulator, in the sense that polarization and Chern insulators have been known for like 30 years, I think. And we also have discovered the invariants for these high-order topological insulators in an equal pudding way. And actually, these construction can be generalized into other insulators, for example, where the effective action or topological part is known. For example, like topological band insulator or axion insulator, which is characterized by axionic response. You can write down a compact formula, which can detect the set of terms in terms of the twisting of boundary conditions and many-body operators. And then we can test the formula where these blue is the Chern-Simon form you integrate in the momentum space, which is definition of the theta for the theta term. And the red is our formula, and then you can see that they agree extremely well. And so these kind of constructions can be generalized to other insulators. And there are other byproducts. One is, as I said, we can derive the straight formula for the Chern insulator and also the hinge insulators. That's one thing we could proceed from our many-body invariants. And some other people develop different stories than ours, which is LSM-like theorems for the dipoles in relation with the fractons, which I do not understand much, so I wouldn't comment much. But people have pushed our invariants into LSM theorems, which seems interesting. And so that's all. Yeah, thanks.
Maybe I can start with a question.
Yeah.
So there's actually another many body churn invariant.
Yes.
Require flux threading. It's,
really?
Yeah, it's just one of the appendices of the Anion paper.
Okay. I'm on the 100 page.
Yeah, but it's, you know, readable.
Okay.
I think that one just involves some expectation value of a Hermitian operator in the ground state.
I didn't know.
Okay. I was just wondering if that, you know, can be extended to these other multipolar.
That's a good question, and I need to look at what GitHub said.
Okay.
Yeah. But I assume you need at least two states, because the characterization of a Chang-ish layer is pumping along something.
Right, but the ground state wave function should contain all.
That's
the
also
being non-trivial. It should not require a response.
Does Shinsei and Hassan have some version like partial transpose?
That's another approach. I think the Kitai's one is just
Yeah, I know it's different.
Yeah,
but Shinsei and Hassan's approach is also like one ground state and
right.
But I think even his approach, I think there is a hidden phase factor, which is constant factor you need to remove, and so in principle you need two.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So I do not know all the approaches like that involves the constant phase factor, which appears everywhere. So you need another state to cancel that.
So does it work for fractional chamber?
I do not know. You mean?
Yeah, your method.
I hope I'm testing it. Yeah.
I see.
But you see, one of the important assumptions is the ground state is unique or something like that. So. But if I restrict one topological sector and ask the response, then maybe it works. But yeah, I do not have a good answer to that. Yeah, thanks for the questions. Somehow the audience is so hostile.
I warned you, but it's not recorded.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay.
Okay, well, let's thank you.